Chapter 25, Tragedy and Challenges. Kneeling down beside them, Uncle Louis called out fearfully, "Girls, are you all right?" Amy opened her eyes. "Yes," she groaned, "but I hurt everywhere." Georgia rolled off Rosa. "I'm okay, but I don't want to do that again." As she tried to push herself up, she grimaced and said, "My wrist hurts." Rosa still hadn't moved. Her eyes were open with a strange, glassy stare. "Rosa," Uncle Louis called out sharply, "Rosa, are you okay?" There was no response. He reached out and touched the top of Rosa's head, and then drew back his blood-covered fingers in distress. She's bleeding badly," he called out with great concern. "Someone run for the first aid kit." Kenzie and Zaheer took off toward the store. Uncle Louis felt Rosa's neck for a pulse. Then he tried her wrist. He could tell she wasn't breathing. By this time, Georgia and Amy were sitting upright, feeling his sense of panic. All the others crowded around to see what was going to happen. Blood was pooling around Rosa's head. Her eyes stared blankly without seeing. "This can't be," Uncle Louis kept saying anxiously. "This can't be." Uncle Louis felt terribly alone and unprepared for such a horrendous accident, even though he had done so well on the first aid exam. He knew the theory. He had seen it performed in YouTube videos, but he had never practiced the techniques. He also had a strong feeling that Rosa's injuries required more medical intervention than he could provide. He was almost certain that she must have fractured her skull. Frantically, he initiated CPR, much to the disgust of his teenaged onlookers, who were still waiting for Rosa to wake up. He could see her chest rise and fall, just as it should. That was good. But as he alternated between chest compressions and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, he was very concerned over the amount of blood she was losing. He anxiously debated in his mind whether he should run to the cave and call the professor, or keep up the CPR and hope that Rosa would start breathing again. The young lads returned with the first aid kit rather quickly, but in Louis's mind it had seemed to take forever. In a panic, he didn't explain anything to anyone, just hastily bound Rosa's head with one long piece of cloth and returned to his task, trying to bring her back to life. Without a watch or a clock, he had no way of gauging how many minutes were passing by. Gradually, he began to wear out, and nothing had changed. Desperately weary, Uncle Louis knew he had to call the professor, whatever risk there may be to disclose the secret cave. Staggering to his feet, he panted, I just need to run and get help for Rosa. Stay, don't move her. I'll be right back. Pushing himself as fast as he could, Uncle Louis ran to the cave. He fumbled frantically to open the lock on the door. Dashing in, he pressed the professor's contact number. The phone rang over and over. Since the professor was teaching a class, it took a few tries before he answered. "What is it, Louis?" he asked, standing outside the door of his lab. "We've had a terrible accident on the go-kart hill," he blurted out. "I think Rosa may be dead." His words tumbled out as he struggled to catch his breath. "She has no pulse. None. There is blood coming out of her head. She's not conscious, and her eyes are glazed over. I've done CPR." Jack Lamans was horrified. Poking his head back into his room, he called out loudly, "Class is dismissed." Then he began running down the halls of the university, heading straight for the rainforest biome. "What happened, Louis?" he begged. "The girls were coming down the hill far too fast," Louis tried to explain, his hand beginning to tremble. "And they hit the bump. They were flung out of the cart, and then it landed on them while they all rolled down the hill." "Sat allures, the bump!" Jax cried out, bursting through the university doors and out into the cold. "Who was driving?" he queried, running and slipping along the snowy sidewalk in his dress shoes. "Amy," Uncle Louis relayed, "and Georgia was the other passenger." The professor was seeing it all in his mind, the go-kart rolling down the hill, colliding with the girls over and over. How he regretted making the bump. "Is Amy okay? How's Georgia?" he fretted anxiously. Louis suddenly realized he hadn't thoroughly examined the others. He had been completely focused on Rosa. "I think they're all right," he cried, his tears welled up in his eyes, "but definitely bruised and shaken." "I'm going to send in the train and take Rosa out," the professor said quickly, and then he fell hard as his shoes slipped on the icy snow at the front doors of the biome. Covered in wet slush, the professor picked himself back up and pulled open the door. Having seen him slip, Rachel was running to help him. I'm okay," he assured her quickly. Dashing past, he headed toward the mirrored hallway. Still holding the phone to his ear, he called out to Louis. "I need you to get Rosa to me as quickly as possible. If you think any of the others may be seriously injured, I'll send the train back in for them." Ben, I don't know about your side. Louis began to sob. I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. I don't want to ruin your plan or lose a life. This is almost beyond me. Quickly looking around, the professor saw that Rachel was watching him with bewilderment. He didn't have time to explain the crises, and he certainly couldn't use the drop floor route. Racing around to his office door, he tried to give calm support and encouragement, appreciating that Louis was overwhelmed. The train will be heading in shortly, he assured him, breathing heavily, as he unlocked his door and ensured it relocked behind him. You did well to perform CPR, he praised. That was very important, Louis. Do you remember how to recognize a medical emergency? Yes, Louis sobbed. Running through the viewing hall, Jax relayed the warning signs to Louis once more, just to refresh his memory. Reaching the supply room, he grabbed a small stretcher from the first aid shelf and put it on the train. From the ice machine, he grabbed some tiny cubes for the girls and placed them in a small pail. I'm sending in a stretcher, he told him, somewhat out of breath. Get the young guys to help, immediately, and put Rosa on the train. Then check Amy and Georgia thoroughly. If anything seems questionable, contact me and I'll send the train back in. Thank you, Louis replied with relief, wiping the tears from his eyes and face. I will. I hope you can do something for Rosa. I'll do my best, the professor promised, reaching toward the train button on the wall. I'm sending the train in now, he relayed urgently. There's ice for the girls. Get back to them as quickly as you can. Goodbye, Louis. I love you. And thanks for trying your very best. By the time Louis raced back to the site of the accident, the train was pulling up to the store with its whistle blowing. Zaheer, Charlie, and Fahid stood up uncertainly, looking in its direction. Run! Louis called out to them. Unload the train and bring all the supplies. Reaching the sad little group gathered around Rosa, he saw they were trying to engage her in conversation. Amy was waving her hand frantically in front of Rosa's eyes, saying, Look at me, Rosa. I'm right here. Can you see me? Tears welled up in Louis's eyes. He hoped that his diagnosis was wrong and that the professor could make Rosa better. He hated to think that such a fun experience could have gone so wrong, ending a precious life. While a few of the young teens had seen the dead spider, Zaheer's fish, and the occasional dead insect, nothing of such importance had ever died in paradise. I really haven't explained death to them, he thought anxiously, as the boys raced toward him with the supplies. And while I've heard about it, I don't really fully understand it either. What will I say if Rosa is actually dead? Ponzi's bronze face was turned in his direction. His dark eyes were troubled. You said you were going to get something to help Rosa, he challenged. Why don't you have anything with you? For a moment, there was a fearful look on Uncle Louis's face. I couldn't find it, he lied. He felt even worse. He glanced quickly at Odin and saw the suspicious gleam in his pale blue eyes. But there was no time to discuss the matter. Charlie and Vahid had brought the stretcher and Zaheer had the pail of ice. Looking at the long apparatus he was carrying, Charlie inquired, What is this thing? It's a stretcher, Uncle Louis mumbled. This is how we're going to carefully pick up Rosa so that we don't hurt her. Tears began running down his cheeks again. None of the tinies had ever seen Uncle Louis cry. Odin ran over to help lift Rosa onto the stretcher. I'll take it, he said brusquely to Charlie, picking up the handles with Fahid. Let's get Rosa on the train, Uncle Louis said gently to everyone. Quietly, everyone followed Odin and Fahid as they carried Rosa on the stretcher. Georgia and Amy were limping a little, and Georgia was holding her arm gingerly, but Louis observed they were both alert, interacting normally with the others, and moving well without any serious grimaces of pain. Now that the professor was nearby and aware of all that was going on, Louis didn't feel quite so overwhelmed. It wasn't all on him. After Rosa had been put on the train and the train began backing out, Uncle Louis called Amy and Georgia over to the store deck. Everyone else followed quietly, unsure of what to do. Uncle Louis made sure the two girls didn't have any broken limbs or double vision or severe pain in any places. Georgia had sprained her wrist, but could still move her fingers freely, so he wrapped ice in a cloth and placed it on the swelling. He attended to the scratches and sores with antibiotic ointment, and Tina helped him to put on the bandages. When he was done, he sat down with relief and weariness. All the anxious faces were looking at him for answers, but he didn't feel he had the mental presence of mind to talk about what had just happened. I'm going to read everyone a story, he said. We all need to just stay calm and see what will happen with Rosa. I'll get some books, Kenzie offered. Uncle Louis nodded gratefully. Kenzie, Zaheer, and Fahid ran to the school to grab some stories off the deck. With his head in his hands, Uncle Louis desperately hoped, maybe the train will come back soon and Rosa will be all right. Disconcerted and traumatized, the Tiny sat on the store deck waiting for the books. Odin suddenly challenged him. Something's going on, he said with a tremor in his voice. You're always running to the outhouse for help. I've been there. You're not going to find any help in there. How does this train know when to come and go and what to bring? Something's up. Exhausted, Uncle Louis sighed heavily. He had expected that his sudden dash to the cave would ignite curiosity. Weary, very emotional, and disappointed that he had lied to the Tinies, he resolved to tell the truth. The Tinies were getting older and wiser, and there was no way the cave could stay a secret forever. Thankfully, there was only one key. I guess it's about time I let you all in on a secret, Uncle Louis relayed in a serious manner, just as the boys came back with the books. Thanking them, Uncle Louis suggested they sit down for a moment as he had something important to say. When everyone was seated and looking up at him, Uncle Louis began. In Rainbow Hill, there is a cave with a locked door. Some of the boys leaned forward to listen better. This is a private place that none of you are allowed to enter, he warned wearily. In this cave, I can talk to the professor. Just like you had a window in the nursery and could see Evan, I have a window to the professor. He can hear me, and I can hear him. The Tinies were wide-eyed with wonder. Even Odin was impressed. So there really is a professor, Lima remarked. Franz rolled his eyes dubiously. Does he live in the cave? Santa asked. Yes, he is real, Uncle Louis frowned. He doesn't live in the cave. He comes and goes just like Evan did in the nursery. Santa nodded slowly. Several Tinies looked at the cave as though they were wondering whether the professor would fit. How does he get in? Franz asked. There is a way, Uncle Louis told him. Communication between myself and the professor is vital here in paradise, he explained. Especially in emergencies. I tell him what we need, and the professor or Evan will send it in on the train. But I'm the only one who is allowed in the cave for now. Does everyone understand? All heads nodded. There was a mischievous smile on Odin's face that Uncle Louis didn't trust. If anyone ever goes inside that cave without my permission, Uncle Louis warned sternly, there will be serious consequences. They will completely lose their freedom in paradise. He paused, trying to think how best to explain loss of freedom. They will have to stay beside me all day and sleep on my couch at night, he said threateningly. Don't try it. For a few minutes, everyone sat in silence, absorbing the new information and thinking through the instances when the train had come in at odd times. Uncle Louis stood up to read a story. Amy had been twisting her hands nervously the whole time. Before he could even walk one step forward, she asked, Uncle Louis, what does it mean to be dead? The start, his face fell. 19 curious pairs of eyes were looking in his direction. He thought of telling Amy that they didn't need to discuss this just yet, that hopefully Rosa would be fine and that it would be better to read a story and calm down. But he could see they all desperately needed to talk. Come down to the beach with me, he encouraged everyone. All the Tinies gathered around Uncle Louis on the beach, sitting in the warm white sand. Above, the sky was overcast and darkening, but the surfing waves had ceased and were now gently lapping against the shore. This is a really hard thing to talk about, Uncle Louis began, looking up at all the bewildered faces and feeling tears well up in his own eyes. Up until today, you've only known a fairly trouble-free existence. Yes, we've had one broken bone, some fights, scrapes, and burns, a day of heat, and even a scary incident with the spider, but for the most part, life has been pretty good. Would you agree? Everyone nodded aside from Odin and Franz. Dia and Ponsi didn't seem completely sure and shrugged their shoulders. Uncle Louis sighed. But we won't live like this forever. None of us will. We won't? Amy questioned anxiously. What do you mean? Well, the professor can help us with a lot of hurts and damage, like when Charlie broke his arm. It's all better now, right, Charlie? Charlie nodded and waved his arm around. Sure is, he said. With a sad smile, Uncle Louis continued. There are some things that cause damage which can't always be repaired. We are alive right now, but if we stop breathing or our hearts stop beating, he paused and swallowed hard, sometimes they can be restarted, but sometimes they can't. If we are dead, that means we can't start breathing again unless the professor finds a way, but it seems he hasn't found one just yet. He He hasn't? Amy asked in a panic, turning very white. But the professor is the mastermind of paradise, Zaheer reasoned. If he made us once, then why can't he just make us again? Uncle Louis took a deep breath, and then another, as he pondered the question. I'm going to have to ask him about that, Zaheer, he said at last. I don't know that I have all the answers on this. I do hope that maybe there is some way. There's got to be a way, Kenzie piped up. Maybe he can do some experiments on Rosa and discover how to do it. True, Uncle Louis nodded. I hope you're right, Kenzie. But in the meantime, he said, looking around everyone, be careful what you do. Your life is very precious. We will fix that bump on the hill before anyone else goes on it, Kenzie exclaimed. He looked around at the group. Who's willing to help me tomorrow morning? Nearly everyone put up their hand. Well, we only have 5 shovels, Kenzie considered appreciatively, but we can all take turns. The Tinies waited for the train that evening until the darkness had descended. Some of the young teens were falling asleep on the beach. Finally, Uncle Louis encouraged them all to go to bed. Let's hope there is good news in the morning, he said, desperate to get to the cave and talk to the professor. I'm sure the professor is doing all that he can to fix Rosa back up. With that hopeful thought in mind, the Tinies straggled off to their homes, even though many would have a sleepless night.